ॐ सहनावतु सहनं भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरम् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्कुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्द माधवम् परमानन्द माधवम् रामो राजमणि सदा विजयते रामं रमेशं भजे रामेणाभिहिता निशाचर च रामाय तस्मै नमः रामान्नास्ति परायणं परतरम् रामस्य दासोऽस्म्यहम् रामे चित्तलयः सदा भवतु मे भो राम मामुद्धर माता रामो मत्पिता रामचन्द्रः स्वामी रामो मत्सखा रामचन्द्रः सर्वस्वं मे रामचन्द्रोदयालु नान्यं जाने नैव जाने न जाने Right. We are seeing Navala Bhakti of this Ram Charitmanas. And what have we seen already? So it's a rhetorical question. First type of Pratama Bhagati? Sandakara Sangha Satsang. Then Dusri? Ram Kata? Mama Kata Prasanga Shravanam. Then Tisri. Guru's Paras Pankaja Seva. Bhakti is not just a feeling. It may start like that, but it evolves into something more. The reason why many people, oh, that's why, because if I go like this, then I move away from the mic. I'll try my best not to move. Many people feel, or they don't feel anything when they go to the temple. And yeah, I went to the mandir. Or they come to some satsang, some study class they might join. One or two sessions and then they fall away. They drop off. Easily they drop off. Why? I didn't feel anything. Because this image that, you know, like how Narasimha came out from that pillar for Prahlad. This is what we want Bhagwan to do for me. So then the feeling doesn't come. When I go to the mandir, the light that I see there is just because that priest is only waving this fire in front of him. I'm not seeing the halo. I'm not hearing, you know, the majestic celestial horns playing. So all of these things that we have associated with that emotion doesn't happen. And I myself, I remain the same. No great miracle has happened in my life. When I go to the mandir, I felt nothing. And so people give it up like that. when we don't feel the presence of that Bhagwan. And so bhakti has to really emerge in the heart of a bhakta. It starts from selfishness. It seems contradictory. It seems counterintuitive, but it starts from a selfish place. Because I have to first feel how Bhagwan has helped me. This is where all human beings start. I have to first think, how has Bhagwan helped me? How have I benefited from the Lord's presence? Until a person can recognize Bhagwan's impact in their life directly, then I will not have an interest in the Lord. See how your children love you very much when they are little, little. But just why? Because you are doing everything for them. They cry, you come running. And they move a little bit, you come running. They're sleeping, and you hear a little rustle, you come running. Worse yet, now parents have screens and constantly monitoring. Some parents are monitoring in the kindergarten also. The love that the child has for the parent is 100% at that age because the trust that the parent is taking care of me is not questioned. Fact or not?
Yes.
But when the child becomes a teenager, you tell me, is it the same man? Or does it change? It changes, huh? Because then they don't think about what you do for me. They stop thinking, oh, my parents have sacrificed. My parents have, they work hard and they're doing all of this. And for me, they are providing only. They don't think like that. Because now they're older. They're thinking now. All they think is what you can give me. And the minute you start telling that child no, then, oh, my parents don't love me. And then the door slams. And then all hullabaloo breaks out. Why? Because the wants have not been satisfied. Basic human nature. The only time when that changes is when that teenager becomes an adult and becomes a parent themselves, and for their own selves and their own eyes, see and experience, then they realize, oh. They told me no for a reason. Because I needed to be stopped. Because they knew what was for my best interest when I had no concept. That is only time the child, now an adult, really values. In the same way, all bhaktas come to Bhagwan at that moment. When we are little babies, Bhagwan takes care of us and we love unconditionally. And then, as we start to become a little bit more aware of the world around us, then we forget how much Bhagwan is doing. Then I am doing. I am big, tall, strong. I am doing, not the Lord. Who builds this? I build this. Bhagwan didn't come here. Did you see Rama and Krishna come here with their blue skin? No. Ganapati did not come with his trunk and lifted anything. I did it. Isn't it so? Till I come to recognize how Bhagwan has actually benefited me at a very deeply personal, even selfish level, then that love will not truly flourish. Then slowly, slowly, what happens is my mind begins to shift a little bit. As I become more and more aware of the presence of Bhagwan, my attraction to that Lord increases. And what happens is my vision also increases. Then I see Bhagwan is not only doing for me, he's doing for everyone. So in Gita, chapter 15 is such an important chapter. If no other chapter from Bhagavad Gita should be known, it is chapter 15 that should be known. Why? He says there, Yadadityagatam tejaha jagat bhasayate khilam yachandravasi yachak. Now, we all chanted very nicely a couple of weeks ago. Akilam jagat bhasayate. This entire world shines. How? Yad aditya. Aditya gatam tejaha. That light that has come from the sun shines upon the earth. The light from the moon also is not its own light. The moon's light is also from the sun. He says, I am that Tadviti Mamakam. You know, I am that light. The minute the Bhakta's vision realizes, oh, this is Bhagwan, then the Bhakta stops thinking me and starts thinking you. The mind goes from I love me and how Bhagwan takes care of me to I just love Bhagwan. Then a little bit more again, the vision opens up. Because it's now me and Bhagwan alone. The world is not me alone. Bhagwan is present in all things. So now the vision starts to broaden. And I start to have that Sarvatma Bhava. I see the Lord present in all things as all things. And so bhakti is not a feeling, it is an experience, an awareness. It is a mind that has been transformed, softened by love, with love, but made open to the world as the Lord's very form. And so Shabari Mata, in her simplicity, shows us how bhakti transforms. There are wonderful stories of many great bhaktas who, without any knowledge, illiterate as they might be, but through Shraddha, they have shown themselves to be great jnanis. Because Bhagwan alone, the prasada of the Lord is like that. So let us now see how that bhakti helps us. First, we saw how the environment that we should put ourselves in through satsang. Then we saw how the kinds of things I should engage in listening to, what I should engage in, listen to. Then what happens when I find a guru, or the guru finds me, I should do some seva for that guru. Serve. That seva is meant not because the guru needs it, but because I need it. It starts to wear away at the ego, that hard shell. No. Bhagwan is taking us a little bit further. From how we should surround ourselves to how we should speak, how we should see the world, and eventually how we should let go. Let us see. I don't think we had chanted last time, also. That's. We'll chant, yeah. And from the we can do from that Doha. No, not the Navadha Bhagati Kahau Tohi. Tohi Pahi. I think we ended there, so we'll just pick up from that's a Chaupai number 4, just before Doha number 35.
Yeah.
Aranya Khan, the same Khan. Shri Navadha Bhagati Kahau Tohi Pahi Navadha Bhagati Kahau Tohi Pahi
Savadhana
Sunu
Dharu
दूसरी रति मम कथा प्रसंगा गुरु पर पंकज सेवा
गुरु पर पंकज सेवा
तीसरी भगति अमान
भगति
चौथी भगति मम गुना मम गुण गण करई कपत जिगान मंत्र जाप मम दृढ़ विश्वासा पंचम भजन सुबेर प्रकाशा छतमशील निरतिर सज्जन धर्म
निरत निरन्तर सज्जन धर्म
सा तव सममोहिमय जगदेखा
जगदेखा
मोते संत अधिक करिलेका
मोते संत अधिक करिलेका
श्री राम जय राम जय जय रामा
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 In the last line, Bhagavan says, Guru Parapankaja Seva, Tisari Bhagati Amana. What is Amana? Abhimana Rahitam. Without Aham, I. Why is this important? Because in the fourth, he says, Mama Guna Gana, Karai Kapata Taji Gana. You sing. What do you sing? Sing my gunas. Why? Not my gunas, Bhagwan's gunas. Why? Because all the time we are always singing our own. That's why. We praise ourselves all the time. And praise is a very dangerous thing. It gets into the mind and it tunnels its way and it starts feeding this ego slowly, slowly. And the ego grows. Yeah, Kumbhakaran. Kapata, without kapat, without deceit, praise. Praise the Lord, praise Bhagavan. Singing the glories of the Lord removes the mind from focusing on the self. We are constantly seeking to praise ourselves. And if so, you know, some people, you know, have you heard about so-and-so? I didn't hear. Don't worry, they'll tell you. They don't hesitate to let you know and tell you all that their accomplishments, you know. And they show also, these are all my awards, and these are all my degrees, and these are my pictures from my graduation, so and so and so. They show. Nothing is wrong being proud for your accomplishments, but we shouldn't do it, you know, every time somebody, same people come into the house every time we keep showing the same thing. You know, and how does it start? You're all grandparents, so actually, well, not grandparents yet, but your children are grown. It starts with, you're also not a grandparent yet. You all have seen, no? When presentations come along, these children are very cute and very nice, that is true. But what is the number one thing? The parents all rush there with the phone. Yeah, take pictures and videos and everything. Very good. Nice. Wonderful. We want to encourage as well. But the problem is when we start to praise mediocrity, that becomes the standard. Mm-hmm. And then the praise itself loses all value. And each time it has to keep getting more and more and more, because you know we're no longer content with this much. No, we need more. We need more. You always tell me I'm good. Tell me something else. You always say I'm a good singer, but what else? This time singing and rain falling. If only, right? I should sing some more here in Bakersfield. This praise is like that. No, does it mean we should stop praising the children? No, we should. That doesn't mean we shouldn't stop praising people or giving praise, but it should be warranted. It should be for good cause. And more importantly, you know, Acharyaji Swami Prakashanandaji. I have to say Acharyaji now because so many other Swamijis. He gives this example. The child comes, you know, with this drawing. What does it look like? Nobody knows. It's what do we call, what's the word for it?
Modern art.
Modern art. No, there's another word for it. I forget. Abstract, yeah, thank
Abstract.
you. It's abstract art, you know? Nobody recognizes what this thing is, but every, oh my God, this child is like the next Picasso. Oh my goodness. They frame it and put it everywhere. Now, we don't want to, you know, make them feel bad. We don't want to stop them from being creative or anything. So use that opportunity to say, look at how Bhagwan has given you this talent. See how Bhagwan has given you such ability to do this. So instead, now the child's thinking goes from, oh, I am so good, Bhagwan has blessed. I can only do because Bhagwan has given the blessing. So the thinking also changes, the approach changes. And at the same time, we are not dissuading the child or whomever from doing anything. We're not putting them down. It is still encouraging. But it is encouraging whilst also seeing that really I am not the one doing. It's not my greatness, but Mama Gunagan. We should seek that. You know, Kabir Das Ji writes a very nice doha. Nindak niyare rakhiye. The people who don't look for friends who are praising you all the time. You seek out the people who are criticizing you. And then he says, Agana kuti chabai. You build a house for them next door to your own. Bring them to live next door to you. Why? Bina pani, sabuna bina, nirmala kare subhai. That criticism purifies me of my own ego, my own pride, my own abhimana. That makes me amana. People who are constantly praising us all the time, it blinds us from our own faults. We need to be criticized, critiqued, to use the academic word. It's a nice way of saying criticized. We need it. It puts a very clear mirror in front of us and it allows me to see myself clearly. Otherwise, we walk around thinking all the time, I am so great. I am so good. I am the best. I am the strongest. I am the most talented. So the critiques, the criticism from others, I should seek that more than praise for myself. And at that same time, praise Bhagwan. Praise Bhagwan for giving me the talent or ability, the resources. Because without the Lord, see, without the Son, where would we be? How great is Bhagwan? This earth is in the perfect position in our solar system to benefit from the warmth of the sun without getting singed, and not so far away that we get freeze. It is the only planet in our galaxy that sustains life in the way that it does. Wood is perhaps one of the rarest materials in this world, in this galaxy, in this universe. And planet Earth has, you can find metals in all the other planets in various forms. But wood you will not find because the trees grow here. And how do the trees grow? Because the sun shines. And its light nourishes, and all organisms, all plants, the earth itself takes it, and it brings life into everything. This is how fortunate we are. That Bhagwan has given all of this, puts us in such a perfect position to benefit in this way. And what do? We build data centers all over, cut down forests, and you know, every year annually, there's a great, the winds that come from the east, yeah, from Africa, from the Sahara. It carries with it great big clouds of Saharan dust. And, you know, growing up, we every, oh my gosh, it's like pollen here. Our pollen that green covers everything. For us, that's Saharan dust. Turns everything this like a filter, golden. But if you have allergies, it's very tough. And everybody complains. But that Saharan dust doesn't come to annoy us. It is on its way to the Amazon because it carries with it essential nutrients that keeps the lungs of this earth alive. That Amazon is there and it benefits from that Saharan dust. This is how interconnected our entire system is. Nothing is separate from each other. And we think we're doing so much. Meanwhile, everything we're doing is actually disturbing all the natural processes that are happening in this earth. Bhagwan's great, his greatness is like this. His mahima is like this. His mahima is not simply, you go to Tirupati and all that. You can't even see the face. So many malas, all this jewelry. Very nice. But his mahima, if I go into the mandir and I do not feel that greatness there, look around. Feel his greatness surrounding us. In the plants, in the air, in everything, in the animals, even the ones we don't like, mosquitoes also. The mosquitoes, when it buzz, buzz, buzz in the night, reminds me I'm alive at least. If the mosquitoes are biting at my, I, oh, my blood is healthy. Because they will not bite me if my blood is not healthy. So they are a reminder of that. This is Bhagwan's Mahima. So how can I not sing the grace of the Lord? How should I not recognize his beauty, his brilliance in and throughout everything, even in the things I don't like? Well, what about dirty, muddy water there? Well, it might not be beautiful to you, but to the bacteria, that place is like heaven. How many bacteria live in this, in, all of these? How many? We see the pool, swimming pool is there and filled with algae. And for us, it's unsightly. We don't want it. But it is life. That algae at one point was all the life that was surviving in this ball of fire and dust and metals and elements at war with each other. All of that. And now here we are, human beings, and we are so great. What have we done? Nothing. We're here because of all these simple, simple little organisms. Through their sacrifice only, we are here. They ate away at all of the carbon in the environment, making it possible for us to live and thrive. This is Bhagwan's mahima. This is his guna, his greatness. That guna, he says, you sing that. Don't sing me, 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 me. Sing about the Lord. And how do we do that? How can I engender that? He tells in the next one, in the fifth, he tells mantra japa mama dridha vishvasa panchama bhajana so veda prakasa. When the Vedas sing about the greatness of the Lord, this is what they are singing. This is what they are telling us. The Vedas are not only singing for the sake of singing. They're not only telling because, oh, they had, we had to fill in this many mantras. So let's just, like when we have to write essays in school, and then we start putting all the's and a's and ah's and all kind of filler words to just bulk it up a little bit because we have to write 1,000 words. Vedas are not like that. They're telling what is necessary. And what is necessary? Bhagwan's greatness. And how should I recognize that? Mama Jap. Chant my name again and again and again. Tells, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. Hello, Nasteva, 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 Gatihi Anyata. In this Kali Yuga, the name of the Lord is the one tool that we have to really bear this time. It needs no, there are no qualifications needed. There is no tutoring needed. One just needs to know. And even if you don't know the name, then like Valmiki Rishi, you say, Mara, 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 Mara. Because soon that Mara becomes Rama. So even if you don't know the name, and the other thing is, there's nothing to worry about as well, because all names are his names only. What name is not his? Even Tom and James that have no meaning. Even those names are the names of the Lord. Say his name. That's why so many forms are there. That's why the names coming from simple Rama to Venkateshwara. Narasimha, Narasimha. The name also has so many, it comes in so many forms, because for us, whatever form, like we were saying yesterday, whatever form captures my attention, whatever form attracts me to it, that name is there for me. He says, chant that name, because this is the most powerful tool that we have. The mouth. Just today we were saying how powerful this tongue is. 2 inches of realty in this body, most powerful thing. With that same tongue, I can praise myself or I can praise Bhagwan. With that same tongue, I can offer criticism and judgment against others, or I can praise Bhagwan. With that same tongue, I can now engage in all gossip and useless conversations, or I can praise Bhagwan. And the choice is mine. There's not no anyone else's. Nobody else is making that choice for me. I have to make it. And the power of the name is such, Tulsidas ji tells in his very Ramchatmanas at the beginning in Bal Kant. Rama ek tapasatiya tari. This Rama is one. One tapasvini he gave mukti to, this Ahalya. Nama koti kali kala kumati sudhari. But countless of people, koti, he says, kumati, of all kinds of minds and intellects, that name has purified. This is the power of the name. And japa also, the repetition, see, people now lots of people are doing research on this. The benefits of meditation and chanting and all of that. I've done research on Vedic chanting. And one thing I think we know is how sound and the frequency of sound creates different states of minds within us. So very low sound, low bass, low frequencies. It naturally, for most people, it makes them very calm. It helps to bring the heart rate down, makes you feel a little bit more relaxed. Now, if you have trouble sleeping, you can turn on YouTube and you can get different frequencies for to sleep. Or you can get a nice sound bath. It is actually very good. I tried it recently. It works very well. Just the sound of those bells and that's meditation bowl when they that vibration that frequent that comes out of it resonates with us and we become tuned to that. So sound is a very powerful thing. So if it's very high-pitched, high-frequency things, then it raises the heartbeat, makes us anxious. That's why many people, a lot of people, when they go into crowds, they can't function. They can't function in Mumbai or New York because it's too loud. Cars honking everywhere, people talking everywhere, bells, all these things going on. And they get very nervous and anxious. Noise pollution. So the mind requires this kind of sound in them to create this type of frequency, to bring a sense of calmness. If any support is there, this is the kind of support that the mind needs. So chanting is as much physiologically beneficial as well as it is psychologically benefiting. Mama guna, what is it? Mama guna, no, mama japa, mantra japa mama dridha vishwasa. Now the other thing. When I chant the name of the Lord, is it to remind Bhagwan of his name?
No.
You're not chanting to remind Bhagwan of his name. I am chanting to remind myself of his presence. And the more and more I chant, the more and more I become tuned into him, and my awareness of that Lord becomes much more prevalent in my life. And so, if I cannot do japa also, and here, oh, here is one more thing. Sadhana is not an accomplishment. Many people see sadhana as some type of goal to be accomplished. And so they'll, without asking also, oh, I did 5 japa malas today. Very good. I did 10 japa malas today. Great for you. Nobody needs to know. And if I have to tell, then it's not, I'm not speaking of Bhagwan. I am speaking of me. Sadhana is not an accomplishment. It's not some goals that I have to achieve. We speak about it when we teach it in session, in class, in a similar kind of way to get the mind engaged in it. But once I start, I should not see it as I have some goal to achieve. I should see that as it should be seen and practiced exactly as it is meant to be, which is to refine me. And the moment I start to use it as some accomplishment, some achievement, some, oh, everybody should know, then that moment itself, the sadhana has lost all impact. Some people tell you also, oh, I do every day, I do 2 hours puja and then chant, I chant this, I chant that, and they memorize everything as well. No, that is not to say, and sometimes in some conversations, especially in satsang, the discussion will come up. In that environment, it's fine because in that environment, nobody's bragging about it. Where the discussion is happening for the sake of self-improvement and amongst peers, like-minded individuals. But if it happens, especially when it goes on Facebook and Instagram, oh, and the WhatsApp forwards, all the pictures. Well, the best thing, everybody goes, have the language when they go. This cultural tourism is spiritual tourism is really a terrible thing. They go to Bharat. What did you do? Oh, I did Tirupati, and I did Char Dham, and I didn't do all of the Jyotirlingas. I just did 4 of them. You're talking like, did you bake a cake? You did? Did you get darshan of Bhagwan when you went? No, but we all got darshan of you at the temple because 7 o'clock in the morning you're sending selfies from in front of the temple. Now, what is the point? Point gone, purpose gone. I did not go to see Bhagwan. I went so everyone could see that I was there. But wait, that's why in South India the phones are banned. Many temples ban phones. Yeah. You either pay for a locker and hope that nobody steals it, or you leave it. And then you go. You leave your shoes also. Don't even walk with it. You just walk barefoot or with the socks. Because we make it all about ourselves. This sadhana is meant to be a spiritual internal affair. It is my growth on the inside that is what matters. So even if I go to the mandir, going to that Tirthasthanam, it is not something to show the world. It is something for my own inner journey. And it should be done in that way. People go and line up for hours, pushing you out of the way, shoving you. Then finally they get there. And then when you get there, also the police and guards are also pushing you out of the way. Don't blink at the wrong time. Because if you blink at the wrong time, you're gone.
Gone.
And then after that, Raksha Prasad. All right? Now, where is Bhagwan and all of that? That's why, Balaji is there, is very nicely decked out waiting for us, all nice jewelry and mala and everything. Nicely he looks. But Padmanabha Swamiji said, no, I'll lie down here. You're not coming for me, you're coming for the prasad. You want that kheer, that tick tick payasam, condensed milk. That's why Bhagwan is lying down. Bhagwan Shiva, better yet, he put a rock there. Look, he is, no, I won't be there. You come and see my lingam. Because Bhagwan knows they're waiting for us to come. He's just there waiting for me to come to him. And when I go, when I finally go, how much money I have to spend, how many hours and flight I have to take to get there, arranging everything, ha and then haggling with all of these, auto driver and taxi driver and hotel and all of these things. All of that I did, and all of that when I get there, I don't think about Papan. Still, the selfie. Number one. And then hashtag divine. This is how we are. And it's not, and don't, and I wish I couldn't say it's a generational thing, but I think we all know it is not exclusive to any generation. We know that. Young, old alike. This is what they do. So this is why when I have to make the name of the Lord my central focus. Hold that name. Create the mind itself should become a fertile ground for that love for Bhagwan to sprout and grow. And it happens only when the Lord's name becomes the primary thing. That is the thing that nourishes. When my name and my greatness is the thing that comes that is most prevalent, and it becomes barren land. Nothing grows there. Because all I am thinking about is myself. If you want true bhakti to sprout in your hearts, then chanting the name of the Lord. And if I cannot do japa, that is okay. And sing bhajans. I can't sing. Yeah, so what? Neither can I. But you think I care if you like how I sing or not? No, I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for Bhagwan. You know, I say, Bhagwan is everywhere. People only sing for praise, and they want people to see them and hear them. There are many stories, but I'll tell off camera. Looking for recognition. And at the end, it's not, did I sing with my heart fixed on the Lord, but how did I sound? How did I look? Did you see me? Did you hear me? That sort of thing we have to rid ourselves from. And we have to encourage others also. Gently, gently. Gurudev used to tell very nicely, he writes very nicely. If you want to change the mind of a person, you can't just go and tell them, change your mind. Oh, you shouldn't think like this. You should think like this. You can't do that. You have to hold their hand. And you walk with them in the direction that they are walking. And then slowly, slowly, they will begin to trust you, be comfortable, and then slowly, slowly, you turn them in that direction. The same way we have to hold our own hands and turn our mind in that direction. Make our mind a mind that is welcoming to the Lord, where he comes and he stays with sincerity also. Kapata taji, he says, with sincerity, a genuine desire in the heart. Then when that happens, see, we said, no, we started. Bhakti has no prerequisites. Jnanam you have is hard work. Bhakti, we say, you don't need any tools, you don't need anything, but it is a trap, let me tell you. We say that so that you'll get started. Once you get started, then you have some work cut out for you. What is that work, he tells? Chatha dhamma sila birati bahu karma. Nirata nirantara sajjana. This sadhana chatushtaya, we cannot escape it. Tattva bodha, vivek chudamani. Now even here, Ramchandra Manas. Kshama dama, vairagya. We cannot escape the sadhana. He says Damaha, control of the senses. What is to control the senses? It is not suppression. Controlling the senses is not to suppress it at all, but it is direction. Not what I shouldn't do. If we keep saying don't do, don't do, don't do, then that becomes, nobody wants that. Telling me don't do this, don't do this. Okay, fine, tell me something to do then. So Dhammaha isn't always about suppressing something, but how do I redirect my senses in a way that is much more useful, beneficial, that won't kill it? All that noise and chatter of the world kills our senses. And we can't close our ears also from it. We can at least close our eyes sometimes. The ears and the nose keep working 24/7. So we cannot close off the senses. So instead, we have to redirect it. How do we redirect it? Satsang, Shravanam, then Mama Guna, Gana, then Mantra Jap. These are all ways to redirect the senses. What about food? I should not eat one bite without saying at least mantra. That food should always be offered. So that food, even if it is not sattvic food, yes, it is okay. I'll tell you why. Some people will say, you know, only vegetarian, pure vegetarian. Ideally, yes. But we are not idealists, we are realists. So not everybody eats purely vegetarian. Fine. But at least offer something to Bhagwan first. Two things will happen. One is, if I'm thinking I'm offering to Bhagwan, then I will probably not want to offer non-vegetarian food, non-sattvic food. I'll want to offer sattvic food to Bhagwan. So naturally, slowly, slowly, it begins to change my own eating patterns. Other thing that happens is, whatever I offer now becomes prasad, and I treat it in that way as prasad. Prasad isn't just, you know, that nice laddu from Tirupati, the best laddus in the world. That's not prasad. That's nice, but whatever comes after having been offered to the Lord, that is prasad. And it doesn't just, oh, you know, prasad, naivedyam, it doesn't just have to be, you know, payasam and these classical traditional dishes. Whatever I cook, even tamales I can offer to the Lord. Food is food. It nourishes me. And all of it comes from the same Bhagwan. The same corn that goes into the tortilla, also we make corn roti, no? Yeah. Same flour, same tomato, same bangan, same everything. It may be prepared differently, but it is the same anyway. Offer it to the Lord. By offering it, even the food slowly becomes purified. And my approach to food becomes purified. So now, if I have the, see, how does it relate to Dhammaha? One, I don't rush to eat. That's the first thing. Because now in my mind, I think I have to first pray and offer it to the Lord. So some Brahmanas, you know, they do the five portions for the Pancharinas. They will make that first. Here in Tinmay Mission, Brahmarpanam. Yeah. However it is, we make it an offering. So it slows down the rush to just consume, consume, consume. And then when I start to eat, that consumption becomes much more mindful, conscientious. I'm eating now. And then I remember, oh, Bhagwan is in my stomach eating that food too. I shouldn't just, you know, pile on food on top of him. Give him a chance to breathe as well. Conscientiously, I should engage. This is Dhammaha. Dhamma is not just removing these things, because it's not everything can be removed. It is also finding ways to make what is there in the world much more divine, a little more sattvic, a little more self-control in that way. And he says, Sheela, what about my conduct? My conduct also should be in a good nature, in a good way. I should be gentle. I should have a gentle nature. Be of that type, people want my company. Not happy when I leave, but happy when I am there. This is Sheela, Sheela Ban. Good conduct. Good conduct, not just I follow Dharma, but I myself am a pleasant person to be around. I smile, but always sour, sour, sour. Like teenagers, you know? When you see how it good, how was it good? How was
Yes.
it normal?
No.
And not a smile, not even like a little nothing. Yeah, because now I have to teach all. I'm sad. I really, I every time I have to teach these teenagers, I think, my God, I'm sorry to my parents and my teachers and all. I tortured in my time. It makes me more aware. Nothing. And anything you ask, oh, can you take this bottle and put it there? Oh. So grouchy. Miss come home from holidays also. They locked themselves in the room. Curtains drawn. Everything dark. You're scared to go in. You don't know. Might have cockroaches. You don't know what is there. You just open the door. Are they breeding? Okay. Shh. You can't wake them up also. Oh, I have, you know, they have to go appointment for 9 a.m. So wake me up at 8 a.m. 7:59 you go. Why did you wake me up so early? 1 minute is too early even. This is not Sheila. This is teenagers. But we outgrow that. And we should not be like that. We should be pleasant. And people ask us to do something. Even if I can't do it, I can say, I'm very sorry. I would love to help. But I just can't. It's okay to say no. Nobody's saying we have to be yes to everything. It's not possible. It is okay to say no. But I can say no in a nice way. I can gently let people down. Gently say, I'm sorry, I would love to, but I really can't right now. But the next time I will make myself available. Oh, whatever. This is Sheila. Good conduct, not just in outwardly, you know, doing the rituals and everything, but in how I interact with people also. I cannot call myself a bhakta, a bhagwan, and I'm treating his people poorly. I can't do that. That is hypocrisy at its finest. A true bhakta bhagwan, even the criminal sitting there in Chino, what is the rule? You can hate the sin, but not the sinner. That is a bhakta. Even if a person has done me wrong, I should have love for that person. I have to do what is my civic duty. That is for sure. If I have to report them to the police, if I have to stand trial and bear witness, whatever, that is my civic responsibility. I should do it. But I need not do it in ill faith. I need not do it with hatred in my heart. I can do it with a pleasant mind. But this is maturity along the path also. That is maturity. It is not an easy thing to accomplish. So in the next one, we'll see how we can get there. What is the next one? He tells. And the seventh, Satava Sama Mohimaya Jagadikha Mote Santa Adhikakari Samadrishti. Seeing the Lord in everything as everything, whether it is my enemy, a person who has done me wrong that I perceived wrong, or my best friend. Seeing the Lord there. And a good way to do that is, number one, who am I to judge? This is the first thing. Who am I to judge? Let the first, what is it? What is the line? Let the first man who has committed no sin cast the first stone. Who am I to judge? Have I lived a life of such perfection and purity? I have done no wrongs. to no person at no time, including I have not stepped on an ant, I have not killed a mosquito, I have not cut down a tree. Have I done that? No. Therefore, who am I to judge? Number one. Second thing is, this person, even if they have done wrong to me, it did not come out of nowhere. This is my product, though. They have become a vehicle through which my own prarabdha has come back to me. And I should see them not as an obstacle, but as a means for my own growth. I have, first of all, I am not perfect. I also have made mistakes. I also have harmed people, hurt people, said things I should not have said, done things I should not have done. In my childhood, I've told my parents, I hate you. In my teenage years, I spoke ill about the other person. As an adult, when I'm driving, I'm cursing these people on the road because, you know. So I also am not free from this thing. So I cannot judge. And the other thing is, this is my own prarabdha coming to me to help me grow. So people say, you know, because people say this, why? Well, if the person did a crime, if they did something wrong, if they hurt you or they insult you or they just, well, first of all, why are you giving that power over you? This is the first thing. Don't give it power. If you give it power, then it becomes powerful. It's like if somebody is insulting you in Greek, would you care? You wouldn't care because you don't know what they're saying anyway. You can't understand the language. So in the same way, if they're insulting you in English or in Gujarati or Hindi or Telugu or Tamil, whatever, that's okay. Pretend like you don't even understand and you walk away. Because the power is not in their words. The power is in my mind only. And if they are saying it to me, it is criticism. Maybe there is some truth in it. Maybe there is some truth in it. And we can take what is true, even if it is not nicely presented, and utilize it and discard the rest. And if they're saying it to me, then it is my own prarabdha anyway. I, at some point, have done some terrible things, and it is all coming back to me. It is my own prarabdha. I alone have written it. So it is coming back to me anyway. It was always meant for me, and I alone have to receive it. Now, with this type of thinking, then is anyone an enemy? No, nobody is my enemy. That doesn't mean everybody is now my friend and you go, you know, you hold hands and you swing and you walk and you don't have to do that. It doesn't mean you have to break bread at everybody. It doesn't mean that. It just means that I need not have enmity in the world. When we, you know, in the ashrama during, like for Raksha Bandhan, you know, Swamiji had a rule. What is the rule? If you're going to tie for one, you have to tie for all. That is the rule. Meaning what? Meaning we have to see everybody as my own brother and sister. In that way, you know. And even the people that we don't like, we have to see them in that way as well. And how can we see them in that way? These are one way. Now, what is another way? We are all made from the same matter. We are all stardust moving around. We are all made from the same matter. Five elements, five elements. Annamayat, annamayam, matava, chaitanyameva, chaitanyat. This is Annamaya, you are Annamaya, we are the same. This is Chaitanya, you are Chaitanya, we are the same. Where can I go where I am? Chaitanya is not. Where can I go where Annamaya is not? Five elements are everywhere. Everything is made of the same five elements. At an elemental level, at a physiological level, at a spiritual level, we are all one and the same. We may appear different, we may function differently, but we are Sarvatma Bhava. That is a drishti. Yata drishti, Tathasrishti. Make the vision divine, see the divinity in all, and the world becomes divine. This is how the Mahatmas were. You think people didn't insult Gurudev? They insulted. You think people didn't insult Ramana Maharshi? They insulted. Vivekanandaji, they insulted. Shivanandaji, they insulted. Tukaram, they insulted. Look at how they Tukaram, they threw away his poetry. Because he was not writing in Sanskrit, you know? They threw it away. And it came back. Bhagwan sent it back. People get insulted every day. What is the big deal? So what? Somebody calls you stupid, say yes, thank you. It took you this long to notice. You were not paying attention. Accept it in that way as well. Satava samamohi. See me in everything, Bhagwan says. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra. Sarvam cha mai pashyati. Tasyaham na pranashyami. Sachamena pranashyati. I am there in everyone. When Arjuna is seeing, getting that vision, that Vishwarupa Virat, the thing that frees, that really hits him, is when he sees all of these Kauravas and coming into the mouth of Bhagwan. That famous line, this, what was his name who made the atomic bomb that he said? I am the destroyer of worlds or something. It comes from there, right?
Oppenheimer.
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 Yeah, it comes from there because I am the one consuming everything. They're all returning to Bhagwan only. And when they return, see, when we return to the earth, when we die, then the body gets buried or cremated. Either way, the elements return to the elements. The water from the body evaporates. And where does it go? It goes right back into the atmosphere.
Yes.
And then it goes up in the clouds and then falls as rain and we drink that water. When the body is in the ground, then these worms and bacteria come and eat away.
Yeah.
And they go somewhere else. And they help to, you know, irrigate the soil and everything. And then they themselves go in that mango, that same mango that you make nice pickle in, and that mango seed is worms only. Yes or no, when you cut it, and the seed and the worms are right there?
Yeah.
Now you tell, where are we different? Sarvatma Bhava, he says. See me in everything. Know me as everything. And with that, we will close for today. The journey of this Navada Bhakti. See, in Bhagavatam, Prahlada is giving us sadhanas, practices. You do this, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Padasevanam, Smaranam, etc. All practices to be done. Bhagavan here is telling us how to transform yourself. This is an inward journey that the, see, Bhagavan is giving this. They have Prahlada, Bhakta is telling. So that is the difference there. So we'll see more on this. The next two we'll see tomorrow. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschit dukha bhavet, asato ma satkamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti, hari om shri gurubhyo namaha. Hari Om Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai.